Good evening and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. I'd like to welcome my co-host, Becky Bradley, the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, as well as Matt Assad, its Managing Editor.
Hello, good evening.
Hi. So today we're going to take a look at how this region's population is growing, where it's growing, and more importantly, what that growth is going to look like in the decades to come. To help us sort all of this out, we have as our guest, Minsu Park. Minsu has a unique position here in the Lehigh Valley in that he works for both the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission and the Workforce Board Lehigh Valley. Using his data analytics and quantitative modeling to identify and forecast trends in population, employment, workforce shifts, and travel demand. A native of South Korea, Minsu spent several years in New York City, where he obtained his bachelor's degree in finance economics at Columbia University. While he was doing that, he developed a marketplace app designed to give Columbia students a safer way to buy and sell their positions within the Columbia community. Before arriving in the Lehigh Valley, Minsu worked as an economic development assistant in the city of Redmond, Washington State. Welcome, Minsu.
Hi.
So Matt, as always, we'll start with you. Can you give us a basic overview of what it means to forecast our population and employment?
Yes, you know, so every few years we use census data and a whole bunch of other factors to forecast our population and employment and where it's heading in the coming decades, really. In this case, it's to 2050. It takes a lot of incredibly complex modeling to be able to look down the road and predict how many people are going to live and work here, but not only live and work here, but where they will live and work in all 62 of our municipalities. So it's not just for the whole region. It is sort of making forecasts for all of the municipalities. You're going to hear a lot more about that over the next 30 minutes with Becky and Minsu, you know, but obviously this is also one of those things that evolves over time, and it's not so easy to predict how that evolution is going to look. For example, you know, the pandemic had an impact on the trajectory of our growth. You know, before that, we were already growing at a rate of 4,000 people per year, really consistently since the 1960s. And COVID-19 came and it actually accelerated that growth. More people wanted to come here. A bunch of people came west from, you know, New York and New Jersey. And it's a real crapshoot also to sort of determine how AI and automation are going to impact the future job market. So there's a whole lot of variables they have to deal with when they're doing this, a whole lot of variables that could change. But that's why we do this every few years. You know, you keep adjusting. Overall, these numbers reflect our success. You know, we are one of Pennsylvania's fastest growing regions, but with that success comes a lot of challenges, and you're going to hear a lot more about that tonight.
Okay. Becky, once this forecast is complete, what impact do these projections have, and how do they ultimately get used?
Well, first of all, it's one of the most popular things that we do. Everybody's interested in population growth. Everybody's interested in what job sectors are increasing or declining and how our population is shifting and aging and or not, you know. So all of this is, you know, important for the community to know. But literally, businesses make decisions based on the release of this information, whether they're going to invest and grow here, how they're going to do that. It definitely will affect how we think about the existing housing shortages that we have and what types of housing we will need and how we match that up to the where, right? The infrastructure capacity where we have communities that are higher growth. But the real legal reason that we do this is because it's actually required as part of our U.S. Department of Transportation work that we do to figure out how and where to plan for road, bridge, transit, bike, and ped investments. So that's the root of it and the legal basis for it. But there are all of these many, many, many reasons why it would be interesting for people, but also necessary for people to know how to plan. I forgot to mention, too, our local governments need this information, especially their sewer and water authorities, and thinking through what sort of capacity and changes they will have in need, how this will affect their land development and zoning and their planning work as well. So A lot of people need this. It's used for a lot of reasons. And we get all of those other benefits for the very practical reason that it underpins our transportation decision making and investment strategy.
And I take a lot of the requests for this information, and I can guarantee the first people that are going to call us are the school districts. Every year, they are the first ones. They want to see how their communities are going to evolve and whether there's a bulge in, you know, this age, because this also includes how the age groups are also going to change.
Yeah, and because of some changes in how we're doing this, in a lot of ways for practical reasons, and I think Minsu is going to talk about this in a little bit, but it will significantly help our school districts, to Matt's point. This version of our population employment projections is the absolute most accurate we've ever done. We've approached it in a different way, though our accuracy was high on previous versions. But this one actually allows some investigation into more granular data than when we've been able to do before. And that's really a testament to the work that Minsu and his partner in this effort, Sabam Karel, have put into this.
Okay, so I understand that you're using a different method than in the past. How is it different and why?
The simple reason is we were using a technology platform that was basically a disaggregation model. So we only had true accuracy to the county level. Below that, it became very difficult, and there had to be significant mathematical calculations, and I wouldn't say a little bit of prayer on the side, but a little bit more speculation than we're normally comfortable with to get down to like what it would mean to our local governments or our school districts or anyone else. So we never really focused too much on what that meant for individual communities. The model that Minsu and Sabam have built is actually an aggregation model using direct information from the Census Bureau, actual population and information by community, to then aggregate the data up instead of to try to disaggregate it. So it's a different way to look at things, and it's an important strategy because our region has grown so intensely over the last decade, actually more than a decade, but it's become very intense over the last decade. So having that more granular information has only become more and more important, which is why when we started this project, I remember saying to Minsu and Sabam, like, hey, we have never really felt as confident as we want to feel in these smaller geographic projections. What are your thoughts? And Minsu and Sabam are just brilliant. And they're like, oh, this is easy. And a couple weeks later, they come back with, oh, we can do this in a way to figure it out. So it's a real testament to them and their skills and abilities to try to help us with these bigger issues across the region.
So it's hard to talk about predicting the future without talking about artificial intelligence or AI. Does it play a role here, Minsu?
Yeah, it seems like AI is actively applied and used everywhere today. And our forecast is based on AI machine learning model. And we utilize machine learning method, especially a model called long short-term memory, to train our model to read historical trends and forecast the future based on the data with input. And there are various factors affecting changes in population and job numbers. And we collected historical data for all these variables and feed it to our model. Then the AI model that we built analyzed the relationship between each variable and read the trends. And based on that information from what it analyzed, it forecast how the future would be look like. I actually brought some examples to make it more understandable. So it somewhat imitate how human brain functions. So imagine how people expect rainy days. Before it rains, some people smell the rain, or some people recognize it by looking at clouds or skies. So although nobody told you how to forecast rainy weather, you know it because of your past experiences and memories. And when similar things happen again and again, people learn and can guess what will happen. And for our model, the data we collected functions as experiences and memories. So just like that, we feed historical data to our model, again, with many different factors, which are correlated with population and jobs for each municipality. Then our model analyzes historical relationship between these factors and forecast the numbers for population and job numbers.
So yes, they built their own AI model.
Right.
Huh. It's not like using ChatGPT, like they built their own AI model, right? So it was completely controlled. So we wouldn't have, you know, other people's data flowing into it unless we put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
They tested it out with a set of basically test numbers to make sure that it functioned correctly. And once they had it calibrated and they could assure its accuracy, then they loaded in the data points from census and other places to be able to have an accurate prediction. So I think it's important to let people know it's absolutely critical to know that AI isn't tomorrow. It's now.
Right, exactly.
And we can actually use it for very positive things that have a lot of benefit, but there's responsibility in the management of that, right? And that's why ours is a closed model, not feeding into anybody else's model. It's just our own AI model.
Hmm. Wow, that's amazing. So let's get into the numbers. Minsu, how fast are we growing?
Okay, so our model is currently capable to forecast until 2050. And our results shows Lehigh Valley's population is projected to reach about 816,000. And this is somewhat similar to our previous projections as well. And today our population number is about 708,000. So it is about 106,000 increases from today. That's an average of adding about 4,200 population each year from today to 2050. And it sounds a little big, but it is very reasonable numbers because when we look at the data between 2023 and 2024, the Lehigh Valley actually added about 7,000 people. And historically, our region has added about 4,000 per year on average since 1960. So according to our result, Lehigh Valley is expected to have consistent population growth for a while in the future. And for number of employment and jobs, it is expected to add about 100,000 jobs for next about 30 years. And it means the region will have about 400,000 jobs or 400,000 people is working in Lehigh Valley by 2050. And our results show that this job growth is mainly driven by industries such as transportation and warehousing, wholesale trade, and professional and scientific and technical services. And this forecast makes sense when we compare it with historical data. So let's check. Between 2012 and 2022, our region created about 40,000 jobs. And this growth was due to healthcare and transportation and warehousing and recent manufacturing. And even before that, between 2002 and 2012, in that decade, the number of jobs increased by about 30,000, even though the manufacturing industry lost significant number of jobs at that time. So I can conclude that our model well captures the historical trend and then our results make sense.
And to put it in a little bit of context, we're going to be growing pretty fast, as he just noted, while two-thirds of Pennsylvania will be shrinking. That's because sort of coming up over the next few decades, we're going to all be facing headwinds. Our biggest generation right now is the baby boomers. And that is actually going to shrink pretty quick, you know, the 2040. And so everyone else's forecast models are going to sort of dip in that. And ours kind of, like I said, we're facing headwinds, but we kind of are actually growing so fast that we are sort of powering through those headwinds.
So along that same line, what other theories or stats do you have on why the Lehigh Valley has maintained such a consistent, strong growth trend?
I mean, the first thing is location, 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 right? Like, that absolutely has been the driving force of the Lehigh Valley's growth for, you know, hundreds of years, if we're being quite honest about it. It's just been more apparent in the time that we live now, right? Because we're in that time and we see it. It's not a historical fact for us, it's a reality. But, you know, Pennsylvania actually has tax benefits for retirees. They don't tax retirement income. So that's, you know, driven some of the retirement growth into the region. We've had so much job growth, as you know, as Ben mentioned, our economy is strong. I know it's dangerous saying this, but it's factual. Our housing market is less expensive than North Jersey and the immediately adjacent Philadelphia region. You know, you cross that line into Bucks County, Montgomery County, the cost of housing goes way up. So for others outside of our region, the housing is relatively more affordable than these other places. For people living and working here, it's a different conversation. And depending on what type of job you have and your income, your family's income, that obviously affects your ability to seek housing. So I needed to caveat it with that. I'm not being dismissive of our housing challenges by any stretch of the imagination, but the fact that we are more affordable, we have a great transportation system, though that's seeing challenges. We have, up until recently, had a lot of excess sewer capacity, though that's starting to decline very rapidly, and we are starting to see challenges in certain places. But we've had availability of all the things. Plus, it's beautiful here. It's only going to get more beautiful. The leaves are already starting to turn, and it becomes pretty magical here in the fall. Then we just got to get through winter, and then the spring becomes great again. But that aside, I mean, we have all these assets. It's all these assets. And that's why people want to be here. I mean, I could go on about our school system. Like, you don't have to send your kids to private school here. You know, you can send your kid to any of the public schools in the Lehigh Valley, and they can get a very good education. So there's many factors that have driven the region's growth, and you know, with the most obvious being our location in the world and our connectivity to the major markets adjacent, while still having a robust individual regional economy.
So, Minsu, what communities are you seeing in the Lehigh Valley that are growing the fastest?
There are a few, I brought a few examples of communities are growing fast. The first one is Upper Meconee Township. It's gonna have both the biggest population and job growth by 2050. And then Allentown City followed as second fastest growing area for both job and population growth. It's not the rate, but I'm talking about the size of the population and job. So Upper Meconee is expected to add about more than 20,000 people and 20,000 jobs for the next 30 years. Yeah, let's talk about today and historic data. So Upper Meconee Township has shown really fast growth historically. And even between 2014 and 2024, in between that 10 years, its population actually grew about 30%. And our model forecast this community would grow a little faster than in the past. And we assume this growth is due to the industrial job creation, especially in transportation and warehousing industry and manufacturing. Allentown City is expected to add 17,000 people and 10,000 jobs by 2050. Allentown City currently has the biggest population size in Lehigh Valley. So 17,000 volume growth is only about 14% increase. Next is Bedlam City is also expected to add about 5,000 people and 9,000 jobs. And this is third largest expected job growth in our region.
Now, we have some in Northampton County too. Well, Bethlehem's both in
Yeah.
Lehigh and Northampton. You're still predicting a higher growth rate
Right.
for the top few in
Yeah.
Lehigh County, but there are a number in Northampton County that are going to grow pretty quick here too.
Yeah, because when it comes to county level, actually Northampton and Lehigh County both grow really fast, and we're expecting that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you're saying that it's a little more dispersed in Northampton County across wider number of communities
Yeah,
then?
yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because like Palmer Township, you've got some growth there in Northampton County for Palmer, both people and jobs, right? That's
Right.
pretty high growth rate, I think, too. Northampton Borough, interestingly enough, some employment gains there.
Bethlehem Township.
Oh yeah, Bethlehem Township, cannot leave them out. They definitely have some strong growth in population, right, for sure. Yeah, but I think that's interesting where you have some more concentrated growth, some more heavily concentrated growth in people and jobs in Lehigh County. It's more dispersed across Northampton.
So, Matt, are there any numbers in here that surprise you?
I don't know if surprise is the right word, but pretty interesting. As quickly as our population is growing, our employment picture is actually growing faster. And that's a fairly recent change. If you go back 5, 6, 7 years, we were sort of a net exporter of workers. And what I mean by that is more people left the Lehigh Valley to work than were coming here to work. We were a net exporter by about 5,000. And if you look at the numbers now, we actually have more people coming here to work than are leaving to work by 4,000. So that's a 9,000 switch in just like 6 or 7 years. So it makes sense that this model would have seen that and then kind of projected out. And it makes sense that we are growing faster in jobs than we are in people.
So, Becky, growth generally comes with a successful region like ours, but what challenges does this present? You mentioned school districts, so I'm sure that's one of them, but what are some of the disadvantages to growth?
Well, I think the most obvious one, and Matt and Minsu both gave like really good information that kind of leads to this. Everybody wants to be the last person in, right? You want to be the last person that moves here, and then you don't want any more people to come to build on that field next to you, or to add density in your community, or to share the same roadways with you. Unfortunately, it's a free country, right? And we're in a free market economy. And we're essentially in a right to develop state. So, if it is allowed by a local government, if that use and in that density in that location is allowed, you have to allow the development to move forward. And the other thing too, and you know, it's very interesting when you look at other regions and you talk to other planners and engineers and other folks, the amount of time it takes to get something done in the Lehigh Valley is very, very short compared to other places, including other places in the state. But definitely, we are a lot more business friendly in Pennsylvania than they are in New Jersey with their land use and land development system, which is incredibly protracted and very, very lengthy, in its process. We move fast. And that's evidenced by our growth, right? We would not have as many jobs as we have if we were obstructionists, right? In fact, when Governor Shapiro was doing some of his permit reform, his team talked with us a lot about, like, hey, what's your recipe for these sorts of things? Like, you're still balancing doing the best you can given the legislative structure coming out of the Pennsylvania legislature and what your box is, right? Like, local governments have a box. County governments have a box in what you're allowed to do and not to do, right? So, within the box that you have now, how are you guys processing these things so quickly? How are you growing so fast? And a lot of it is having good planning up front, right? A lot of it was having the capacity in place. But I'll tell you, the challenge right now is that we're getting that capacity on a number of things. I know nobody wants to talk about poop. But the truth of the matter is if you don't have sewer capacity, it makes it real hard to accommodate a lot of things, especially food and beverage manufacturing that's heavily water intensive. You got to have some place for that water to go, right? And your effluent is what they call it to go. You've got to have places when things get flushed for that to go. So it actually becomes very important. It's a water quality issue. It's a, you know, a health, safety, welfare issue. It's even to some extent an emergency management issue. So some of the things that we're going to be working on, which are definitely challenges as we go into the update of the regional plan, which, by the way, this is part of the data that goes into that. We're doing a lot of the data this year so we can start to talk to everybody about the issues, the opportunities, our challenges, how we're going to work through them. But one of our biggest issues is sewer capacity. Making sure that we have enough electricity, that we have enough cellular and other forms of broadband access. All of this stuff ties into us not only being a community for today, but a community for tomorrow. These are definitely challenges. So you have the court of public opinion, which is it's hot out there. It's very hot out there these days, and I think some of the national ire gets translated down to the local level. Having areas of intense growth in certain communities also increases the public temperature. But that's where I think it becomes more important for us to talk about what the box is that the legislature gives us, how we manage through that, what's acceptable and what's not. But the bottom line is this: we went from a medium-sized region that thought a little bit small to a medium-sized region that thought medium to a medium-large region on the verge of large. And we can't afford to think medium, if that makes sense, because we're not just competing with ourselves, we're competing with the world. We're not just competing with New Jersey or, Philadelphia regions or Texas or any other place. We're competing, and it's in a shifting global economy. And I think that's where we have to be smart. And that includes everything, especially our core services: sewer, water, roads, bridges, electricity, gas, broadband, cellular service. All of these things matter. And that is the purview of the Planning Commission, right? So that's where we provide that coordinating and collaborating role with our school districts, our local governments, our private sector, nonprofit sector, the all levels of government to ensure that we can sustain and be able to rise to the challenges in front of us. Because if we can't stop people coming in, right, it's just not possible. I find it very interesting that people ask us to stop people all the time. And unfortunately, I don't know of any freshwater Jaws-like sharks that can jump out of the Delaware and nab people as they try to cross from New Jersey. Nor would I want to, but boy, would that make a great horror movie here in October for Halloween. But, all sarcasm aside, I really do think that we're sort of in the catbird seat here in the Lehigh Valley. We really, really, really have a lot of advantages. And the challenge is going to be to manage those advantages and not let them become detriments.
Right. Yeah. Well, I sure hope we have an episode coming up on poop because, that's going to be where the conversation's at.
Poop and parking, some of the two most divisive issues in planning.
Oh man. All right. So let's wrap it up here. Becky, where do we go from here? Or where does this go from here? And what happens next?
Well, I've talked a lot this episode. I'm gonna kick it over to Matt and Minsu and see what they think. What do you guys think?
Well, I think where this goes is, well, first of all, we finish it. This is still in process. We kind of finish everything that's happening, but also it becomes a document and everybody wants it. And then I think we probably, I don't know, we probably go on a roadshow or have them come here and we figure out how they can use it and how it's going to help them.
Yeah, for me, I think AI model, as I said, our model is learning with the data. So every year, like a public organization or nonprofit organization, they publish their own data set. And then I think it's important to follow up every year with the most updated recent data set so we can deliver the most accurate version of forecast to our communities.
I love that we're like committing to the future
Yeah.
and managing it. I love that.
That's true.
Well, you got to tell them too. This was our first AI model. You have designs, right? You're going to do all kinds.
Yes, well, yeah. Our team.
They have plans. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And it's helping us be so much more efficient.
Yeah, it's more like long-term future projects.
That's great. Yeah. Well, I look forward to hearing what else you develop with AI. And I'm sure we'll talk about it on Plan Lehigh Valley in the future. We're all out of time this evening, but I want to thank our guests, Minsu, and also our hosts, Matt and Becky. You've been listening to Plan Lehigh Valley. You can listen to it again by going to wdiy.org or the WDIY app or your favorite podcast platform. I'm Margaret McConnell. Thanks for joining us. Have a great evening.